Good morning, everyone. It is a truly good morning. It's a great morning, actually. And I'm really glad that you are all here today. I was thinking during the Lord's Supper and during the giving back as I was bowed in prayer, what do you think about when your head is bowed in prayer? I vision different things. I vision the earth sometimes and God enveloping us or try to, you know, kind of envision God. But, you know, what's in your head, that's a mystery to me. I don't know what you think about. I don't know how you envision, you know, or what you are specifically focused on. But why you're here this morning, I don't think that's a mystery to me. Chuck had a great opening prayer that really answered a lot of that. We're here because we love each other. We're here because we want to encourage each other. We're here because we love Jesus Christ. We want to follow His commands. We're here because we worship a great and mighty God. So that's not a mystery, I think. And this morning we are going to talk quite a bit about mysteries. You're probably going to hear me say that word, you know, like 100 times this morning. Hopefully it won't get too old. But that is what the lesson is about this morning. It's about the mysteries that we see in life. In the book of Revelation, you know, the book itself can seem like kind of a mystery to some folks. And I know it was a long reading that I asked Randy to do this morning, but that was one reason why I wanted him to. The book, what do you think of when you think of the name? I mean, sometimes that can be a mystery to some folks. You know, in the Greek, the name that we translate into Revelation or the word that we translate, it is Apocalypse. What do you think that means? That's very interesting as it goes along with the lesson this morning, because what it means is the pulling back of the veil. It means the unveiling of information of some sort, which isn't that exactly what the Bible is for us? The whole thing, really, right? It's the unveiling of a mystery. The mystery that God has given to us. And so, yes, the book of Revelation sometimes does seem like a mystery to some, but it is also a book that uncovers a lot for us. One thing that I wanted to note here from verse 3 is not just about the book of Revelation, but about the whole scripture. It says in verse 3, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the word." You're going to be blessed when you open up the Bible and when you read it. What else does it say there? It says, "Blessed are those who hear." So there might be a little bit of a difference there, of reading and hearing, but we're going to be blessed as we strive to figure that out and as we strive to understand what's in it. And blessed are those who keep what is written. So I wanted to make that really clear this morning. Another thing I really wanted to make clear this morning, kind of right up front as we start this lesson is, it's really designed for Christians. It is a lesson that I put together for those of us who are in Christ, for those of us who consider ourselves Christians. I know that there are those in the audience this morning, or those in the building this morning, that have been Christians for decades, have been Christians for just weeks, right? So we have this whole gamut of people, but I wanted to make sure that we understood that this morning. The lesson is about seeing that God helps each of us to solve mysteries. Not necessarily our own mysteries, but all the people around you in your circle, all the people that God has blessed you to be associated with, you hopefully get to help them to solve some mysteries as well. So, what is a mystery in your mind? When you think of the word mystery, what do you think about? Well, definitionally, it is pretty simple. It's something that is difficult or impossible to understand or explain. And so I want to make sure that we understand both of these this morning. It's difficult. Yes, a mystery can be difficult to understand, or it can be impossible to understand. And there's both types, and they're both mysteries. It's never a mystery when we walk in the building and we wonder, where's Dave and Sharon at? No, they're right there. That's where they are. It's not a mystery where they're going to be sitting, I don't think. At least it hasn't been so far, right? It's not a mystery that when we get here, that Ron and Diane are going to be here to greet us, because they're always here first. They're always here. And it's like if we have visitors and we're worried about or wondering, is somebody back there to greet the visitors? Yes. It's Randy and Ron. That's not a mystery. We know those things. But there is a lot of mysteries that we don't know everything about. And there are some mysteries in the scriptures that we'll probably never completely understand. There's some that we'll understand, rather quickly. We'll talk about one of those in a minute. But before we do, I just wanted to mention, you know, entertainment wise, I think a lot of us enjoy mysteries. A lot of us like to open up a book that in the first, you know, 20, 30 pages kind of sets the hook, if you will, tells you about something that you just don't know what's going to happen. And oftentimes they don't reveal it till the very, very end. That's a mystery. Sometimes there's people that like to watch entertainment, watch a movie, you know, those types of things. Even a television show, doctor shows can be a mystery. You know, what kind of illness does this particular person have? And it's a mystery throughout the whole show, and then it is revealed. So mysteries are all around us in life. In fact, even like if you think about starting a college class, you know, you wonder what's the professor going to be like? Or maybe you're going from third grade to fourth grade, or second grade to third grade. And you're wondering, what's my class going to be like? It's a little bit of a mystery that's not solved until you actually go to the class, right? Right, kids? No. It's a mystery to them. They'll never know what I was saying. Anyways, sometimes it takes a lot of patience to see a mystery solved, and sometimes they're solved right away. In the reading this morning, I talked about the mystery of the seven stars and seven golden lampstands. And it does sound kind of interesting or fun, not funny, but when that type of verbiage is used, you know, what is John talking about? Well, the answer, thankfully, the mystery was solved right away. In verse 20, it says, "As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches." Do churches have angels? What's our angel doing? Do we have an angel in heaven watching over Canby? That might be a mystery. But as far as what John saw, it wasn't a mystery here. And he goes on to say, "And the seven lampstands are the seven churches." So mysteries can be presented to us and be a little bit confusing and then be solved right away. And so when we think about this morning, those who are in the world that are not Christians, that are perishing, I want us to understand as we go through this, picture yourself this morning as a piece of a puzzle. You can be a piece of a puzzle in their life. You can be the piece that actually helps them to solve the mystery or to solve the puzzle of who they are, what they're to believe in, and how they're to spend their life. And that's really what we are this morning. You know, a lot of times to the world, we are foolishness. What we participate in is foolishness. What we're doing, it just makes no sense. The Apostle Paul said in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians that the cross of Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us, it's not foolishness, is it? It's the exact opposite. It's anything but foolishness. And the way that we live our lives, the things that we do, the things that we say, who we are, it's a piece of a puzzle. If you think about that, it's a piece of a puzzle that our coworkers, that our teachers, that our school bus drivers, they see that piece of a puzzle and it's foolishness to them until a certain point in time. I don't know when that time is. But just remember, as we go through this lesson this morning, you could be the piece of their puzzle that they need to solve the mysteries in life. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, Paul said, "For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of the Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I have written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body and partakers of the promises in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I just wanted to note in here that I want you to make sure that you see you're in this verse. Right? You are in this verse. Check out verse 4 again. When you read this. So who are you? Right? It's this. When you open this up and you read this, you're in this. You're in this verse. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. So you can perceive what the Apostle Paul is saying. And other people are looking to us to help answer that mystery at times as well. Hopefully that is a point that we all understand by now in the lesson, that this lesson is about us as individuals being answers to other people's questions, being the piece of the puzzle that they may need to solve the puzzle. So here's an interesting mystery for you. I figured that when I clicked this that everybody about my age and older would be smiling really big. and I was right. You know, I was raised, I've told you before, by hippies and wolves, but it's not exactly true. But my parents were odd, to say the least, at times, and they really loved the National Enquirer. I don't know how many of you like that, but as I was growing up, they were laying all over the house, and the National Enquirer was very well known as a kind of a half-truth magazine, with that spread lots of gossip, and some people really, really believed in it. But the one thing that you could find consistent is at least like twice a month there would be a picture of the Loch Ness Monster. The mystery that the world wanted to solve. Since the 1920s, people had flocked to Loch Ness to figure out, is there really a monster there? Is it a hoax? What kind of mystery is this? Different countries, different universities, they sent things there to just try to figure this out. So it was a mystery that was really, really well known. And as citizens here today, we all know that there's mysteries a lot closer to home for us, like D.B. Cooper. Did he get the money? Did he not get the money? Is he alive? Is he dead? Where is it all at? It's kind of a mystery. What about Bigfoot? We're at the heart of the conversation about Bigfoot in Oregon and Washington, right? Some of you may believe in Bigfoot. Some of you think it's the biggest hoax that has ever been perpetuated on the face of the earth. But the fact is there's been hundreds of articles, thousands of articles actually, and hundreds of books written about it. In the 70s, 80s, and 90s, Grover Krantz, he was a professor at Washington State University and a famous anthropologist and a Bigfoot expert. And his cousin recently wrote about him, and this is what she said. He published 10 books in his life. Several were on anthropology, topics like human evolution, but 5 were on Bigfoot. I think he was seen as sort of an embarrassment to the university, or to Washington State University anthropology department, she says. She is a journalist and distant cousin of Grover, who is documenting his life in a serial podcast called Wild Thing. So Bigfoot can be a big deal to a lot of people, and he's certainly a puzzle. He's a mystery, if you will. But some people, I actually know Christians that believe without a doubt he's real. And you know what? This picture was taken within 10 miles of here, and it is very real. I know, because I took it. So, one of the people that we lease property from, they're kind of Bigfoot enthusiasts, and they did this 8-foot cutout and put it at the back of our cow pasture, right? And it's probably 300 feet from their house, and it's very distracting when you're working in the field and you're like, oh, it's just that cutout. So anyways, I thought I'd take a picture of that and kind of get us thinking about mysteries. Some are easy to solve, some can't be solved. So let's move on. All right. So what about mysteries in the Bible? One mystery in the Bible to some people is the involvement of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not just talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit inspired Peter and he inspired Mark and he inspired Luke. I'm talking about the involvement of the Holy Spirit in your life today in many different ways, many different facets. It can be a mystery to some. Jeff Grease led us on kind of a mini study last year about the Holy Spirit, and it was really good, and it helped many of us to understand more about what the Holy Spirit does. Hopefully you see where I'm going with this. It is a mystery exactly what he does in our lives. It can be kind of a mystery to some. But what about what heaven will look like? We just read some from the book of Revelation. If you go through that, there's all kinds of descriptions about what heaven may look like. Do you know what heaven looks like? It's kind of a mystery, isn't it? Right? We think about it at times, but I think we can also say that when we read about it, there might be some poetic licensing, right? It might be God just giving us this little glimpse of something that physically we can relate to, but maybe spiritually we can't. So it's kind of a mystery. I don't think that one's going to be solved in my lifetime. I don't think I'm going to understand exactly what heaven's going to look like until I'm dead and my spiritual body takes over. But what about 1 Corinthians, the real 1 Corinthians, right? What's in that book? In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul refers to the first letter that he wrote to the Corinthians. So what's in it? It's probably going to remain a mystery. And as well as the epistle to the Laodiceans. Probably didn't say that right, but we'll ask Dave later. Anyways, there are some mysteries that are just, they're just not going to be solved. All right, let's remember again, mystery is something that is difficult or impossible to understand. The synonyms of a mystery are a puzzle, a conundrum, a riddle, or a question mark. How can we help those who are struggling to solve the mystery of their life, of their salvation, of what's going to happen to them? We can. Just by living, we can. Just by doing, we can. Just by talking with them, we can. Just by showing them a scripture or, you know, just planting a seed, we can be a big help, no matter who it is. Paul says over in Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writing has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about obedience to truth." When you really chew on these for a little while, you can see a lot in there that not only are we asked to, you know, let people know about the Bible and what the Bible says, but there is a certain point where there's some weight on our shoulders when it comes to teaching what the obedience to the truth is. Because for many people, as we said, it is a mystery. I'm going to talk with my hands for a minute, so I'm going to put this down. So here's another going back in time. I want you to think for a minute about what is probably considered an antique toy today. But many of us grew up with viewfinders, right? Those viewfinders, they're about this big, and they're like a set of binoculars, and you put a disc like this in the top of it, and most of the time we pointed it up at the light, and we click, click, click. There was, you know, beautiful ones of the Grand Canyon, of the Oregon coast, and there's all kinds of discs that you could get for them. But I want you to kind of think of your knowledge today of the mystery of the scriptures that's been revealed to you like one of those disc finders. You're able to pick that up and you're able to, let's say, go backwards, right? You're able to look it up and you click and you see the body of Christ, and you click it again going backwards and you see the life of Christ. You click it again and you go back and see the prophecy of Christ through Isaiah. You click it again and you go back to the Psalms that David wrote, or you go back to Isaiah or Abraham. And you got that. That's the mystery that you have. And the people in the world, they can't do that. They'll click through that thing, click, click, click. It doesn't work anymore. It's a mystery to them. And it's a mystery that God has blessed you to solve. And I think that is something that we should be able to remember this morning. That veil, you know, right? The veil has been peeled away for us, so to speak. So I want to talk for a moment about the responsibility of our deacons, about just one aspect of it. We all know that the qualifications are in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 8 it says, "Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to wine, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience." So how do they do that? How do we expect them to do that? Justin and Dave and Gary and Clinton and Brian. Yes, we do. It's one of God's qualifications for our deacons, right? In writing about these qualifications, Mark Copeland, in a lesson that he did not too long ago, he wrote this about 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9. He says, He said, there are qualifications of being a deacon that are both positive, and there are ones that are negative. And this is a positive qualification. And this is what he said about it. Holding the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. The mystery means that which has been concealed or hidden, but is now revealed. And he says that faith here is referring to that which is believed, i.e. the gospel. And with a pure conscience, Mark wrote, without hypocrisy. A deacon should hold firm the great doctrines of the Christian religion which had been so long concealed from the people, but are now revealed. The reason is obvious, he goes on to explain, that deacons are not usually the preacher. I'm sure sometimes they are, but they're not usually the preacher. But they are people of great influence. Of great influence in the world and of great influence at church. So it is very important that he goes on to explain that they must hold the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. Being a deacon, if you think about it, it's a sign. It's really obvious. It's a man who is maturing and mature in the faith. It's a family who is maturing and mature in the faith. And it is a congregation that is maturing in the faith. So it does make sense that this particular person would be able to hold the gospel with a clear conscience, the mystery of faith. In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verses 18 and 19, Paul said this, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that in the words, that the words, or that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim what? To proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Now think about this for a moment, and think about it from my perspective. I need your help. It's not easy for me to be able to proclaim the mystery of the gospel all the time. The Apostle Paul needed the brethren's help. Even the Apostle Paul, and he tells them, you know what? I need your help. I want you to pray for me that I can share the mystery of the gospel. What's interesting about that is he talking about a mystery that you can't solve? No, he's not. But is it a mystery to some people? Yes, it is. Or he wouldn't be asking for prayers to help them. So, give me your prayers, please. Once in a while, pray for me that I have the wisdom to be able to, like Paul, talk about and reveal the mystery of the gospel to others. So this morning, what is not a mystery? What is not a mystery to you? As I said earlier, this lesson is very much to Christians who are growing. And it should not be a mystery to you that Jesus Christ came to this earth because he loves you. That should not be a mystery. The good news that the Apostle Paul claimed should not be a mystery. Or his sacrifice. The fact that Jesus had to be sacrificed probably shouldn't be a mystery. You know, there's a story that is told in Luke chapter 24. It takes place miles away from Jerusalem. Right? And it happens after Jesus was arrested, he was tried, he was crucified, he was buried, and he was raised. And miles from Jerusalem, there's two guys, one of them's Cleopas, and they're walking along, right? And they're talking about what happened. Oh man, I can't believe this happened in Jerusalem. And this guy, the stranger, he walks up and he joins their party. Like, what are you guys talking about? Did this happen? And they look at him and they say, where have you been? Every single person should know what happened in Jerusalem. It was Jesus who actually asked what happened. And so he goes on to tell that story, and then Jesus actually tells them he had to die. And that's why I say we as Christians, that shouldn't be a mystery to us. Over in Luke chapter 24 and in verse 26, It says, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures that they had concerning himself. I wonder how many times that these two fellows had heard Jesus talk about what was going to happen. The Son of God must suffer. The Son of God must go through these things. I suspect that they had heard it several times, but it was still a mystery to them. They didn't quite get it. And now Jesus is revealing it to them that, okay, this had to happen. And then over in verse 44, what does he say? He says, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Now think about mystery being our theme here. What does he say next? Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Much of what happened in Jerusalem, their minds were closed to. They did not understand. And I think that that is very obvious from the end of some of the Gospels and the beginning of the book of Acts. They did not understand why did all these things have to take place. But Jesus opened up their minds to solve the mystery. And that's the knowledge that we have today of what that mystery was. What else is not a mystery? And this I really want you to think about this morning, again, from the perspective of those people in your life, those co-workers, those family members, those friends that are not Christians. What should not be a mystery to you is you are a blade of grass. It really should not be a mystery. It's a truthful statement that has been around for a very, very long time. And as we look at that statement, I want you to remember that maybe it's also a mystery for people to understand that there's a physical Ron Carpenter and there's a spiritual Ron Carpenter. And the physical Ron Carpenter is going to die just like a blade of grass. It's going to go through a cycle because that's what naturally happens. And so as we're talking with people, we should remember that and understand that that might be a mystery for many people. Although there's been billions of people in life that have proved this over and over because it just keeps happening. But if you look at the scriptures and go back to what David said in Psalms 103 and verse 15, he said, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and in its place knows no more. Our lives are not very long. That shouldn't be a mystery to us. The older we get, the faster they go, right? And what happens to us is very much like grass. Isaiah said nearly the same thing when he pleaded with the Lord, how do I get through to these people? What do I say to these people? In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 6, all flesh is grass and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. This is not a mystery to us. We should totally understand this. And it should really be a motivating factor. Peter said the same thing practically in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24. All flesh is like grass, and in its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And his word is the good news that was preached to you. His word is the good news that was preached to you. We've been given this knowledge. It's not a mystery. We are spiritual beings that look forward to go to heaven, to going to heaven. But we're also physical beings that just like grass, and most of you in here know that I'm kind of sort of an expert on grass, right? We raise hay, we watch grass grow. It just goes through this cycle, actually twice a year, a really quick cycle. You come out of winter, it grows fast, it grows good, it grows hardy, and then summer months, the sun hits it and hits it and hits it, and boom, it's done. It's dead. All of my cow pastures right now, they're brown. But the fall rains will come, and they'll green up, and they'll be live again, and thus our lives are like grass. We also, it's not a mystery to us that Jesus could come at any moment. And again, that's another a thing that kind of puts a little bit of pressure on us to help other people solve the mystery of their life, spiritually speaking. Every soul must be found clothed in Christ. We all know that. And there should be a, just a, at least a tad bit of urgency in that. So this morning, again, the lesson is for growing Christians. You have the keys to eternal life. And we can look at it like the puzzle. You could be a piece of the puzzle for people around you. In the final chapter of the Bible, really, in the final chapter of the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, John was told, here are the words, and I want you to share them. Right? What did he say? In this chapter, in the final words of the scriptures, he tells us that heaven is beautiful. We know that. That's a fact. Heaven is beautiful. John tells us so. Heaven is pure and only the pure will live there. Heaven is light. There's no darkness. There is no darkness in heaven. He also tells us that Jesus is coming soon. And he also says that our robes must be washed. And that's a pretty clear reference to being baptized into the body of Christ. It gives us rights when we do to have access to the tree of life. The Holy Spirit has invited all to come, and that's the good news. And so it's all been revealed to you. Everything has been revealed to you. And that's probably why Mark was so adamant in chapter 16 and verse 15 when he's talking to those who are Christians, when he says, go therefore into the world. And do what? Proclaim Jesus to the world. You are the ones who have been, you are the ones who have solved the mystery, so to speak. So, I'm gonna give the invitation here in just a second, and I'm gonna do that by reading Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I gotta be a little bit quick on my feet this morning because this is a little bit of a change up. So I practiced this lesson like 3 times and this, the ending or the invitation, it's not like it was any other time that I practiced it. And here's why, because Issa is going to be baptized this morning. She's going to respond to the gospel call and we're filled the baptistry. And when I'm done here, we're gonna go back and we're gonna talk a little bit. I think we're gonna have a psalm and then Chuck's gonna say a few words and then I'm gonna come up here and we are going to baptize Esau. So, but what I was going to say, or something close to this, if you can answer the question yes to a couple of these questions, then please let me or Chuck know. And the first question was, you know, are you okay with God? Are you confident that your relationship right now with God is good? Or are you uncertain? Has there been sin in your life that it makes you uncertain about that relationship with God? Because if there is and you answer yes to that, you really need to take care of that this morning. We should not leave here unless you've taken care of that. And then the second question is, do you understand the mysteries of life, the mysteries of Jesus, the mystery of the gospel? But yet, even though understanding those, you haven't reacted to them. If you can answer yes to that, then you should let us know as well when we stand and sing the invitation song. But before we do that, I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 6 through 10. This is what Paul says. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are home or are away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you at the close of the service, rejoicing with the angels of heaven over our new sister. We pray that you will be with her and strengthen her and will be encouragement to her as she encourages us. Father, we pray that you will be the Hutton family as they travel away from us, and the treatments there will be successful so that Luke can recover some of his health. Pray that you'll be with them as they travel back. We also are extremely grateful for your watching over Jeffrey during this time of his illness and surgeries, that he's come through it. And we rejoice with that, and we thank you for it. We pray that you will be with us as we leave this place to let us go out in the world as a shining example and beacon to the world of your Son and the sacrifice he made for us. We hope you'll be with us. Forgive us our sins. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a great day.